Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
941 Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the weekend health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Dean, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing very, very well. I don't know about the rockin' pneumonia part, but I do know that we are sneaking up into flu season. Are we technically in flu season right now?
Well, yeah, we're heading right into it, and I think certainly people can get flu year round. That does happen, but the flu tends to cycle into kind of a new variant every year as it comes from the Australia part of the globe to the United States part of the globe, and that's in September and October.
And all along the way, right, it's mutating and changing. And that's why we have to get new flu vaccines every year, right? Because
you got it.
It's a little bit.
They try to kind of modify the vaccine every year, tweak it a little bit, or sometimes a lot, depending on how many mutations are arising and where the mutations arise in the virus.
Yeah. So, it's not the worst thing in the world to get a little flu vaccine, but nobody likes to get the needle. There was a report this week that it was approved a flu vaccine spray that goes into your nose, I guess. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, the flu mist spray. It's as of Friday, the FDA approved it for home use. And that's the kicker here. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. You do need a prescription for it. You can just kind of squirt it up your nose or your child's nose. It's available for humans from the age of 2 years old to 49 years old. So it's not for everybody, not for little kids, and not for older adults, just because of the lack of efficacy that was shown with those age groups. But could be a game changer, making life a lot easier for folks to get access to these vaccines and administer them.
Yeah, especially for little kids who really hate the needle.
Right.
It's, good luck getting a bottle up their nose to spray stuff in. I imagine it's going to be challenging any way you like it, but at least they don't have to get the stick. That's the main part of this. And it's as effective as a traditional flu vaccine like we've all been getting all these years?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Wow. And why do you think that people over 49, that it's not as effective?
You know, I don't have a good answer for that. I can tell you that, vaccines come in so many different varieties. There's live attenuated vaccines like the flu vaccine, meaning they've taken the live flu virus and they modified it so it can't get you sick, but it can, kick off the immune response. And then there's killed vaccines, and then they can sometimes take pieces of vaccines and called conjugates, and there's all different types. So your immune system changes over time, and certain types of vaccines and maybe even the delivery through the nose, somehow it just doesn't trigger that strong response as much as it does with a shot in the arm. So I'm not intimately familiar with it, but I suspect it has to do with the delivery technique.
Yeah, it is going to be a definite game changer, and it is available now. You should just ask your physician about that if you're interested.
Sure, or if you're in the pharmacy, ask your pharmacist, and they may be able to help get you that prescription.
Okay. There actually have been higher flu deaths in children so far this year. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, really unfortunate, mainly because preventable. Dean, these deaths are preventable. Most of the kids that have died were eligible for a vaccine but didn't receive one. So around 200 kids died in the 2023-24 flu season, according to the CDC. That's a lot of kids that a lot of families that are impacted. And so, you know, almost approaching the number that died in the swine death or the swine flu epidemic in 2009, 2010. So it's a significant amount of kids. Again, you know, the vaccine isn't 100% effective at preventing illness or sickness, but it's pretty darn good.
And really the best way to prevent that is are the all the usual precautions for which we've all become so familiar during COVID, washing hands, protecting your mouth, don't touch your eyes, like all of those things. Keep germs to themselves.
There you go.
I'm sorry, are you there, Doctor?
I'm here. Yeah, Dean, you're right on the money.
It's okay.
all about the hand washing, and if you are sick, you know, just put on a droplet mask so you don't get somebody else sick.
Yeah. I thought our phone bug, I thought our phone flu was back again for a second, but I'm glad to hear that's okay. I'd been reading about a virus this week that can cause polio-like symptoms in children, and one that is spiking in the U.S. Is this something that is premature? It's something that parents ought to be aware of right now.
Well, certainly it's good for folks to be aware, although there's not a whole lot we can do about it. And you're referring to acute flaccid myelitis. Essentially, it's a condition that is very serious. And is affecting young kids primarily who have been exposed to a specific strain of the enterovirus, D68. And we first identified this in 2014, and then we saw spikes in 2016 and 2018, not sure why it skipped years. It kind of went away, or we weren't looking for it, or we're distracted by COVID, but regardless, there were fewer cases reported during COVID, but now it's been back again this year. There have been a number of cases reported, and essentially what's happening is kids who are still in that process of their immune system where they're encountering all the different germs in the environment over time, and as we all grow up, we all have had these illnesses, the diarrheal illnesses, vomiting, upper respiratory infections. You get them over and over and over again, and then eventually you stop getting them as severely, and that's because your immune system is keying into these viruses and developing immunity within you, or you're becoming vaccinated in the case of flu or others. In the case of enterovirus, it cycles. And we see a high percentage or proportion of these cases in the fall, in the late summer and early fall. And they don't know exactly how it works, but the theory is that some children, for some reason, who haven't been exposed, are exposed to the virus and develop this kind of backwards immune response where their immune system attacks their own body. Alternatively, the virus is attacking parts of the body. It's just not 100% clear, but it does tend to occur 3 to 4 weeks after the illness. And, you know, what'll happen is the child will develop weakness in an arm or a leg, and it tends to spread, and it can even affect the breathing. Very, very serious, and kids are not recovering well from this. Of course, it's a very small number of kids, but it's so severe that it's very frightening and people are paying attention.
Yeah. Are there particular symptoms of this that parents should keep an eye out for?
Well, the virus itself is like a run-of-the-mill virus that doesn't have any special attributes. You know, runny nose, sore throat, cough, fever. Kids with asthma tend to get sicker with it. And so if you had a kid with asthma that was admitted to the hospital, you might test for it. But otherwise, you know, you see kids all day, every day that might have it. You'd never know. The trick is then 3 to 4 weeks later, the child might suddenly have a weakness in the head, the arm, or the leg, or droopy eyelids is sometimes a symptom because the muscles of the face can become weak. Children can develop a difficulty with swallowing, or sometimes trouble breathing without fever or other evidence of an illness. And then pain is associated, so they get pain in their arms or pain in their legs. So quite significant symptoms that should prompt any parent or caregiver to say, let's get this checked out immediately.
Yeah, check with your physicians, obviously, on all of this for your kids. Questions for Dr. Silver, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The 414 area code says, can you ask the doctor, if someone was sick 2 weeks ago, didn't get tested for COVID, but was sick two weeks ago, can they get a COVID shot now, even though they did not test then?
I guess my first question would be if you thought you had it, or, I guess it depends on your level of suspicion. You know, if, for instance, Dean, if my kids had COVID and I developed kind of a flu-like illness on the heels of that, but I never got tested, I'd assume that I had had it. And then, no, I wouldn't want to get the vaccine. I'd want to wait for that immunity to wane or to decrease over time and kind of space it out and take full advantage of the vaccine. So that's the whole reason for the spacing out, is you've got some immunity from having been infected. You want to ride that as long as you can, maybe a couple of months, and then go get vaccinated after that. I hope I'm answering the question appropriately.
Yeah, makes sense. 312-981-7200. Back with more in a minute. Dr. Jeremy Silver is on with us, The Weekend Health, as always, talking about the latest. And the 309 area code says, visiting with my wife's oncologist, he suggested getting a COVID shot every 5 months. We're in our mid-70s. I received my first COVID shot 2 weeks ago. Does that sound like good advice, Dr. Silver?
Yeah, with oncology, that is such a specialized field. The folks with cancer, and good luck, sir or ma'am, to your healing. Their immune systems are just not like the rest of us. And so my general feedback to that would be, is if you have cancer and you're living with it, or you have an autoimmune condition like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, I would talk to your specialist, because they may have the fast track to a certain vaccine regimen that would be the best for you.
Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. I hope you have a great Sunday today, Doc, and thanks for joining us.
Dean, thanks for having me. Stay dry out there.